and you're listening to It's All About Food. Here we are, the week of Thanksgiving, November 20th, 2012. And I get to talk about what I love most, and that's delicious plant food. Okay, my next guest is Terry Hope Romero, and she's got another super-duper wonderful, yummy cookbook out called Vegan Eats World. She's the co-author of best-selling books Veganomicon, Vegan Cupcakes Take Over the World, and Vegan Cookies Invade Your Cookie Jar. Her first solo book, cookbook, Viva Vegan, came out in the spring of 2010, and she contributes to Veg News' Hot Urban Eats column and has hosted the public access podcast vegan cooking show, The Post-Punk Kitchen. She lives, cooks, and eats in New York City. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Good. I didn't mention the vegan mashup in here either. How is that going?
Oh, it's going all right. We have season one done, and that is available on DVD, and it's also making its way to various public stations all around. I know it's going to be in San Francisco very soon, if it hasn't already shown. So,
okay,
yeah.
That's exciting. Well, for people that don't know about it, because we talked about it a while ago, but that's with you and Miyoko Shinner and...
Tony Fiore.
There we go, that's right.
And also many guests. We have a lot of people just come on the show as well.
Excellent. And you make wonderful, delicious food.
That's right.
That's good. Okay, so you have this new gorgeous cookbook out. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you relaxing now?
Not yet. No, the book, even though it's out, it feels like just the work kind of starts all over again. Telling people about the book and everything.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into this. You can just, without even opening it up, just feel it. It's heavy.
Oh, yes, it really is. It's tofu press and heavy.
And I love the colors, too.
Yeah, definitely.
The turquoise, and it's sort of like a creamy tomato.
That's pomegranate, actually.
Oh, okay. Really? No, on the cover. Yeah, but the binder.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It is, yeah. It's like, I guess you're hungry, right?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Thinking of a nice, hungry, like a nice creamy tomato sauce color. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
With a little cashew cream in it or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so first let's talk about this book. How did you do the work to discover recipes from all around the world and then make them your own?
Oh, man. Well, it's kind of a project of a lifetime. Because I've always been interested in all different kinds of ethnic cuisines, and, I love playing with, veganizing things and also taking, ingredients from all these different cultures and seeing what I can, use. What can I do with them, and how can I apply them to, like, things that, you might be already familiar with if you do a lot of vegetarian or vegan cooking, such as, like, tofu and tempeh. And one thing I talk about in the book, that it's secretly a cookbook about Queens,
mm-hmm.
about my vegan fantasy of Queens, New York City. Because Queens is one of the most ethnically diverse places in North America. And it's so easy to just travel everywhere, like in a day on the subway, to go find Indian food and, like Greek food and Lebanese food and Korean food and Chinese food and just all these different, like granular variations of it all over the place, and all these great markets to find food at that, all my traveling that I did for my previous book all over the borough to find Latin American ingredients, I saw all these other great places that I love to shop at. And I'm like, well, this is what I need to do. I need to take this a step further.
Make
Queens vegan.
I'm another Queens vegan, and I echo everything you just said. I love sometimes when I have guests taking them around Queens, which is never what they expected to do, because everybody wants to head over to Manhattan, and Manhattan's great for lots of things, but it's like you said, you can really travel the world right here in Queens and hear every language imaginable. And walk into some crazy ethnic stores and find things that you've never seen before.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, okay, There are more vegan cookbooks coming out now than ever before. This is a great thing. What I want, my wish, of course, obviously, is there are cookbooks that are coming out all the time. That's like the number one seller of books, right? Cookbooks. People are nuts about food and cookbooks. And so it follows that there would be more vegan cookbooks. Ultimately, though, I would love to see that all cookbooks are vegan and we could stop just putting that vegan word on it, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, we're probably a long way from that.
We probably are.
So from now on, let's just think about vegan cookbooks.
And the other thing is, this is, to me, okay, maybe it's just a Queen's cookbook, but I'm thinking it's an American cookbook because this is what we do in this melting pot place. All these people come here, and they bring their traditions, and then we make great things out of them, even food.
Yeah, I mean, it, really, it is. And one of the things I can definitely tell you is that I had testers all over America and in the UK and Australia and various parts of Europe and in, you know, Canada. So it's kind of, in some ways, I want to say it's like an urban cookbook, because in all these urban centers, you're having such a great influx of people from all over the world, in many countries all over the world. But I also have had people in less urban areas as well surprisingly be able to find, you know, a big Asian market near them in a shopping plaza or, like, a little Mexican grocery store at the edge of town. You know, like those things are there. You know, it's part of our changing world.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you. Could these testers find the ingredients they needed? And
yeah.
I guess that's because it's not just the United States. It's everywhere. This global thing is happening, and we're all sharing so much. I highlighted a few recipes that really were mouthwatering to me. I wanted to talk about them. So the first one I really can relate to because I'm from New York, and that's the Zen spinach wonton soup. I've had it a gazillion times, and so I was, like, really smiling when I saw that you put that in there.
Yeah. For any listeners that don't know, it's kind of a riff off of Zen Palette, which is a popular, like, vegan restaurant chain in New York City that's been around for a long time. I remember in the 90s, in the early 90s when I first started coming to New York City, it might even be older for all I know, and it was one of those, like, Hallmark student things of, you know, classic clear broth Chinese soup with big dumplings, you know, filled with a little bit of seitan or something, and a little bit of spinach, and it's just a really, really not, I mean, it was funny, when you get at the restaurant, you get a tiny bowl, but there's something fun about making it at home, having a whole pot of it.
Yeah, I just want to... We're having a little trouble hearing you, Terry, so I don't know if it's where you are or what you're on, but I just wanted to make a note of that because we want to hear everything you're saying.
Cell phone.
And right now it's a little garbled.
Okay.
I love the big bowl of soups, the brothy things with noodles, and this has wontons in it. And Zen Palette definitely has a history here in New York. It was groundbreaking. It's kind of been overwhelmed by some other restaurants, but you know that happens over time. Things change. The next thing, I don't even know how to say it, Dukka, D-U-K-K-A?
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Dukka. This is crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's really exciting. For those unfamiliar with that, it's a riff off an Egyptian food that is kind of like somewhere between a dip and an appetizer, and it's a little different than both because it's ground up toasted nuts with lots and lots of different kinds of spices. And traditionally, it's served with olive oil and bread, and sort of sprinkled or dipped into. But it can also be used as sort of a sprinkle topping on top of mashed vegetables, or I've been even throwing it in soups and salads because it's so addictive and so hearty. You know, it's something that's just got a lot of substance to it because, you know, you're getting all the nutrition from nuts and all these spices. So it's not just a seasoning. It seems to be, it's much more substantial than that.
Well, it's made from hazelnuts, right?
Yes, it's usually made from hazelnuts. You can throw other nuts in there too as well.
Well, you know, it's something like this. Okay, we've heard it a million times, people, when you talk about being vegan, and people say, oh, but I can't give up cheese. Cheese is like this salty, fatty thing that makes things taste good to people. I even remember I lived in the south of France for 4 years, and the French guy that I was with, he kept saying that he loved my cooking, but everything I served, he would just grate some cheese on top of it, which was really very frustrating. But something like the stucca, which has the fat, it has the flavorings, but it's just so much, I would think, it's so much more interesting.
It's very fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something to play with. Okay, so the next one that really popped out on me, I love pancakes and crepes and playing with all kinds of flours, but coconut crepes?
Yeah, that's a traditional Vietnamese food. It's kind of like a big like stuffed pancake, and it's bright yellow because it's got a lot of turmeric, which is really good for you, in there. And you know, traditionally it has, you know, might have some kind of seafood baked into it, but it's really just as delicious with just, you know, lots of sprouts and onions. And this one I like to throw a handful of spinach before you fold it over, omelet style. And then you kind of tear it apart with your hands and you dip it in a dipping sauce. And they're really great.
Yeah, so amazing. Well, I like, I don't often learn about new things, but that one was definitely a new one. And another one, red bean ice cream mochi dumplings. Now, everybody loves dumplings, but these are made out of things I never heard of before.
Yeah, well, that's a dessert. So
yeah.
It's I'm calling it a dumpling in kind of like a very general sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's mochi. So if people aren't familiar with mochi, it's a chewy, sweet rice dough that is consumed all, you know, in all kinds of Asian countries. And in this case, it's sort of modeled after the Japanese version where they take the dough and it's, you know, sweetened with a little sugar and it's rolled out and then you wrap it around traditionally things like red bean paste as like a dessert you eat with tea. And in this case, this is sort of a fun riff off of, if you've ever seen, they have mochi dumplings filled with ice cream. And, you know, they're almost never available vegan. And playing at home, it was easy to find out, hey, I can do this at home. And
mm-hmm.
Red bean is one of my favorite flavors for ice cream that you almost never find vegan. Like, it's almost impossible to find a red bean. You know, now it's easier than ever to find very good vegan ice cream in the stores. But, like, we're kind of missing out on some really fun Asian flavors, and one of them is red bean. Red bean is like the chocolate of you know, Asian ice cream flavors. So this one is just a simple, fast dough that you can make at home quickly, and then, you know, you can kind of just, you know, flavor, like, your favorite vanilla vegan ice cream with some red bean paste, and, you know, with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of time on your side, you can make these cute little dessert dumplings that you take out of the freezer for a minute and serve. And they're really fun. They're really cute. They're great for parties. You know, they're just great.
Yeah, I like it. So, Vegan Eats World will tell you how to do that. Basically. It's Thanksgiving, and I wanted to talk about Thanksgiving and about traditions. So you celebrate Thanksgiving, yes?
Yeah, sure.
Do you have some traditional stuff from your family and culture?
You know, the funny thing is I actually just did a Thanksgiving post on my blog, and one of the things I was thinking about is that, you know, you see all these menus for Thanksgiving posted, and you see them all over the place in magazines this time of year, but no one I know actually makes an entire menu.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everybody likes to make this sort of mishmash of traditional favorites, very Thanksgiving-y foods, and maybe try one or two brand new things. Personally, I almost never have my own Thanksgiving, unfortunately. I always have to go to someone else's house.
Yep.
So I'm never making a whole meal at my house. It just doesn't happen, you know. And I don't really have too many traditions from, like, Venezuelan food. I don't really tend to do that. But one thing I would make that comes from the Polish side of my family for Thanksgiving are pierogies. I'm not doing that this year, but if I was going to make one thing that I grew up eating, are pierogies. And pierogies are definitely a vegan eat world.
Yeah, and it's a great Thanksgiving food because it's that comfort potato-y kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, I love Thanksgiving, and I used to make big dinners here, complete menus, and I was just mentioning earlier we have an entire food show with a complete menu on ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com's website, and it's got some of my favorite Thanksgiving recipes. Like you, I am going to family. And it's a big mix of lots of different dietary requirements. There was a There was a funny cartoon in the New Yorker a couple years ago, and I thought, oh, my God, this is so my family. It was a circle of people, and one was low salt, one was low fat, one was vegan, one was dairy-free, one had celiac, and one had nut allergies, and it's basically like that. So it's really kind of an interesting potpourri. But the thing is about tradition, and I want to relate it to your book, because some people are so stuck on tradition. You know, that's the way my mom made it. That's the way my grandmother made it. That's the way it should be, especially when it comes to turkey on the table. I think we know that the original Thanksgiving was not like the Thanksgivings that are considered traditional today. Recipes are dynamic. They change. They get better. Your recipes in this book are a testament to that. You're taking things that people make, and then you're doing your thing with it. And that's always what recipes have been about. They're somewhat traditional and somewhat not.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if someone has to make a traditional Thanksgiving, they're going to do it, right? But the kind of funny thing is, I mean, I listen to people talk about their Thanksgiving dinners and the ones that they go to travel, and you hear a lot of complaining.
Yeah, I'm complaining.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
about the traditional dishes that people always make, that they're made year after year, that are not good, but they're made because they have to be made, you know. And I don't know what to tell you other than, you know, it may be one of those things where you have to talk to your hostess or host, you know, whoever is working on, you know, presenting the Thanksgiving and saying, hey, you know, I'd like to bring something. I'd like to bring something different or new. And is that okay with you? And it, most of the time it is, you know. I mean, you'd be surprised, especially I think in this world, like the cartoon you're talking about, of, you know, where everybody has a different food requirement or allergy or need or belief, that it's becoming more widely accepted that not everybody can eat the same exact spread, and that bringing your own food, at least one dish, just one dish, is okay.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. It's funny because where we've been going for a few years, we've all been bringing stuff, and this year we were told everything's taken care of. We're not supposed to bring anything.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, oh, my God, I'm scared. but for me, Thanksgiving has always been that time to indulge, and my form of indulging is nowhere near what other people do when they indulge. It's kind of ridiculous, but I eat a very clean diet, and Thanksgiving I think of all the comfort foods that I don't normally eat, like a really rich mashed potatoes and more than one dessert, pumpkin pie and apple pie and cornbread that's rich and gravies, and I don't usually make lots of different foods and make them rich, and this is the one time that I want to do that. And when I'm eating somewhere where I'm not getting those foods, it's a little disappointing. So it's all about expectation, and you shouldn't have any. And if you want a certain food, make it when you want to.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of operate that way around certain holidays.
Mm-hmm. Make your own Thanksgiving.
I mean, that's one of the things I find out with a lot of people is that a lot of, especially with vegans, is that you always hear about the other Thanksgiving they're having, the one that's before or after the actual date.
Yeah.
The one that they're really excited about eating.
The Thanksgiving is really a very focused vegan thing. There have been a lot of events around turkey-free Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving and I don't know how it all got started, because so many different holidays and meals center around meat, why we chose this particular one as like the one that we own. But there is a lot of focus on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think it's because there is that one central animal that's at the middle of it all, you know? And I think because it is very American.
Yeah.
You know, here it is. This is a holiday that doesn't have any particular, no particular religious affiliation, and, you know, and that, you know, is sort of built up, you know, kids get all those days off, and, you know, a lot of people get work off, and people travel. This is the biggest travel day of the year.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense to me that this is the holiday to co-opt.
Definitely. Okay, so what's next?
I don't know.
I mean, You've conquered the world. Are you going to go out of space now?
I know. Kind of, that'd be a great vacation. There is another book in the works. I have to start thinking about it very soon. I had a couple ideas out there, but I think I might start asking my fans, what do you guys want for me next? Whatever it is, it's going to be a smaller book. It's definitely going to be in smaller scope and scale, but still fun. Fun and, you know, hopefully filled with food that you know, is delicious and will, you know, help people expand their culinary horizons.
Good. Well, as long as it's fun, that's what's important.
Yeah.
Important. Fun and savoring. I like this, the way you say international recipes for savoring the planet. That's a very nice play on words, because so many of us are always saying saving the planet. I get it. And
yeah.
We're savoring while we're saving.
Yeah.
Very clever. I almost missed that. I just caught it. Oh, Terry, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food, and thank you for keeping us inspired with some really good, delicious recipes that are clean and cruelty-free and delicious and yummy, and why wouldn't everybody want to eat like this? I don't know.
That's right. Awesome.
Yes, thanks for joining me, and go forth and do more good food work.
Thanks, Karen.
You're welcome. Okay, so we just have a few minutes left, and I wanted to get back to talking about my favorite recipes, because it is Thanksgiving, and as I said before, it is important to me. Some of the things in this food show that we've put together, one of the recipes that I'm really excited about is a savory pumpkin pie. So there's a few key ingredients that a lot of us connect with when it comes to Thanksgiving. It's the sweet potatoes or the yams, and potatoes and corn, hearty, satisfying foods. So I came up with this pumpkin pie, and I was so excited about it because the crust is a dough that I made from pumpkin seeds, and I didn't use any oil. I'm always on a mission to make food that's healthy and delicious, but also limited in the foods that aren't so good for you. I try to stay away from oil. I try to stay away from salt. And when I'm making a pie crust, it's usually made with a lot of margarine and oil. And then when I figured out I could make it out of seeds, which provide the fat, but it's a healthy fat and it's a fat with fiber, I was really excited. So I made this savory pumpkin pie. You can also use this pumpkin seed crust for sweet desserts as well. And if you're looking for something to bring to a party, try this savory pumpkin pie. I show you how to make it. I give you the recipe, and it's all at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Just click on the left sidebar. We have a Thanksgiving celebration feast page with the recipes. And then another one of my favorite recipes that's included in this program is the cassoulet. Now, the cassoulet is based on a French dish. I know this is an American holiday, but we take a lot of things from the French when it comes to food. Why not? And the French wouldn't even like me calling this cassoulet because it doesn't have the basic ingredients that they put in it, which is a lot of different meats. But it's a white bean herb stew with a Dijon mustard sauce in it. And it's really hearty, creamy, very satisfying. It can even be a centerpiece or a main dish. It's colorful. It's beautiful if you put it in a really nice casserole dish. Or you could put it inside a carved pumpkin. That's another thing that I like to do. People are so focused on the centerpiece for Thanksgiving. And why not use a carved pumpkin, like a terrine, where you could put a soup or a bean stew in it. Just a few last-minute ideas for you. And we show you how to do it. And then a few of the other recipes. I make this soup. I call it the soup au pis stew. It's another variation of a French recipe, but it very much reminds me of the harvest, which is what we're celebrating during Thanksgiving, the harvest, and it has turnip and leeks and carrots, root vegetables, pureed into a really lovely creamy soup. It's a great starter, and it has that lovely pumpkin orangey color, which is so Thanksgiving. But I want to save the best thing for last, and that is we have a pumpkin spice ice cream. Everybody loves this. It's really a treat. It's made from coconut milk and has those great Thanksgiving spices, the ginger and the cloves and the nutmeg. And it's such a wonderful, easy-to-make ice cream, and you can top it on all the other desserts that are being served, the pumpkin pie, the apple pie. I like to make poached pears, something really clean and simple, and then pair it, oh, no pun intended, with the pumpkin spice ice cream. So just visit it, responsibleeatingandliving.com, and I hope you check out that food show. If you have any comments at any time about food, about my interviews, if there are people that you think we should have on this show, send me an email at info@realmeals.org. I really love to hear from you and about what it is that you want, just like Carrie Hope Romero was just talking about asking her readers what they want next. Thank you, and have a very happy, happy, delicious Thanksgiving and a delicious week. Bye-bye.